Hello. Good morning.
Good
Good
morning,
morning, host.
Ramatwa.
Can
Are you well, my dear?
I'm fine and yourself?
Also
Thank
fine,
you.
thank you. The sun is
Thank you.
shining, so it can't be bad.
Yes, today it's not cold.
It's always lovely, these very sunny winter days I like in particular.
Is it?
Yeah. Morning, Valerie, are you well?
I am good, Mr. Winsinger. How are you?
Also fine, thank you very much.
Valerie, good morning.
Morning, Mr. Ahmad. Sorry, I was just taking a call on my phone now, so I didn't want to put my mic on. How are you?
I'm fine and yourself, but I'm going to switch off for connectivity. There
Yes.
will be a load shedding. So now I want to improve the connectivity, so I'm going to switch off the video.
Yeah, I have the same problem. So my camera is also off the whole morning. Because if I switch it on, then I won't be able to continue in the meeting. I will lose connection.
So that is why I'm connecting now before we start, so that when we start, I must switch it off.
Sure.
Secondly, I don't know, but I will call you via the phone after the meeting.
Yeah, no
I
problem.
want to talk to you in camera.
Okay, sure, no problem.
All right, thank you.
But you are talking in camera, colleague.
Pardon?
You are talking in camera now.
Not now.
No, you are. You must keep your,
Okay.
you must
Oh,
keep.
because now, oh, I mean, we'll be two, not with you.
It's difficult over the phone to talk in camera.
We'll try to do that.
You see, all these things have now attained new meaning. But take care, my dear.
Thank you. I can't hear you properly.
Good
I think I
morning.
must switch off the video.
Yes, I can see. Good morning, everybody.
Morning,
Morning,
Chairperson.
Chairperson.
We are right in camera as we speak, all of
Absolutely.
us.
I
Yeah.
absolutely. No, I was talking to Valerie, please. I was not talking to the chairperson. I was not talking to Hutsinger. I was talking to Valerie. Why are you getting into our conversation? My brother, my comrade, my colleague, Honorable Mangu, how are you?
I'm very well, my sister, my comrade, my colleague. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Yeah,
I missed something here, I can see.
no, that is why you are being patronized this way.
She definitely is favoring the ones wearing ties, quite clearly. Quite
I can
quite.
This is
see
what I thought was a first of the resolutions of this committee.
that.
You
Yes,
know,
I.
Hans Singer knows that because he's always number one. He's the one who knows. Yes, I got you. I was the second. You're the first person to get into this meeting.
Chairperson,
Jambas, ngikhona baba.
I'm the appeal. Long live the chairperson. Let me say it at the beginning today. I always close by that, but today I'm starting. Long live the chairperson. Long live.
It's nice this morning.
Why are you starting today? Why
Honorable
today you are starting by that?
Hunsinger, how are you, colleague?
No.
I'm well, thank you. Thank you, colleague Mangu. Upon your opening request, I will then remark in saying, I do not dissent.
Okay.
Yes,
Okay.
I And long live the chairperson, absolutely.
Comrade Mango, you said in other meetings, you said this at the end. Why are you saying at the beginning today?
I see the chairperson is in a good mood. So, and I can see that he looks like he has moved to Kwa Kwa if I look at his background. So,
okay.
I thought, let me do that because he looks in a very good mood.
No, I'm not in Kwa Kwa. I am in Joburg, where you are.
Oh, okay. No. I can see that.
So we are not here at the end in Joburg, early in the morning.
Yeah. Thanks to Honorable Ketamaba.
Yeah.
Sanbona.
Baba.
Nsizwa yangakithi.
Wezulu.
Ninjani nsizwa yangakithi.
Bayet.
Bona mangethu.
Hawu baba, bangithumelele inomor plate baba, yayazi lethi jokdoko. Bangithumelele. Yeah, how are you, Honorable Nolchungu?
I'm good, thank you, Chair. And how are you?
I can see the fighter is back.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Chair.
Long live, Honorable Nolchungu. Long live.
Long live.
Yeah, no, we are happy that you are back, Honorable Nolichungu. We have been missing you as a member. And we have been working with Honorable Ponce. Yeah, no, he handled us very well, and we are happy. You must tell him.
But it's not the same. Not the same.
I will, Chair. No, I know. I always choose the right people to represent me in my committee. I think that he will behave, you know.
No, he behaved.
Most of the time, might add, most of the time.
Yeah, very polite. And I said, yeah, this is not the person I know, man. Honorable members, are you there, all of you? Can I start the meeting?
Chair, the DG is struggling to connect, and it's not 9 o'clock yet. Do you want to give it another 3 minutes?
Tell the DG I don't like people who are struggling.
Apparently, there's an internet connection problem.
Oh, okay. No, it's okay.
There will be a reason. There will definitely be a reason.
Yeah. No,
isn't it a fault of government that the infrastructure is not up to scratch? That we must struggle with connection. Shouldn't the government take responsibility?
How are you, Honorable Mapena? Can you get to the house and greet?
Morning, Chair.
How are you, baby?
Honorable Mapena then said if they allowed the Honorable Zuma to build us some nuclear power stations, we would have not had this problem.
No, we're still greet. We're not yet on the agenda. Let him greet first. The family's waiting. Mhlonishwa, how are you?
Good morning, Chairperson. How are you?
I can see Gauteng is full of load shedding in the morning, early in the morning.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, and where is Mkhayesh?
I'm sure he will log in now because we're starting at 9.
It's already 9.
Well, 1 minute before 9.
Oh, which watch is the correct one? Is it mine or yours, Honorable Member?
Mine is new, Chair, so it must be correct.
Oh, okay. Goeiemore, die man van die berge af. Unmute. You know, this sign language is very common now these days. Unmute Honorable May and greet properly.
He's so close, one can see what he thinks.
It's BTT.
Chairperson, my dentist is a very hardworking person. I've had an appointment 7 o'clock this morning, and I just arrived from Port Elizabeth now. So I've got a little bit of a problem, but nothing urgent. Nothing serious.
No, we are sorry to hear that. Yesterday it was Honorable McDonald. I can see it goes with age. I can see it goes with age, this thing of Tandela.
Yeah, man.
The Tandela speaking laws. Oh, carols. Okay. Well, I think
it's full of fun this morning.
Yeah, well, if we don't make this place full of fun, where will we get fun from?
Yeah, you are right, Chair. Chair, but yeah. It's 9 o'clock now, Chair. Let's start.
Valerie?
Chair, I don't see the DG yet on the line, but there are officials from the department who can explain what is happening in terms of the IT collection of the DG. The liaison officer from the department is here, and the staff in the DG's office.
Who's liaison officer's name?
Ms. Mpondo is here in the meeting, Chair.
Ms. Mpondo, Tandi, Ms. Mpondo. How are you, sir?
Kiteng, Chair. It's Tsulu, the Chief of Staff.
Tsulu, are you well placed to can run with the presentation or the briefing?
No, Chair. Sorry, I had a little bit of a glitch, so I just joined at the time when the chairperson was calling out the PLO. So,
you know, normally, Tsulu, we from this transport family, we join around 8:30, so that we don't have problems. Where is the DG?
I request just a minute, Chair, to round up the team quickly, Chair. My apologies for that. I'll double check quickly with it where the DG is.
Yeah, we normally wait a minute for the department, so we're used to that. So look, get organized so that we can start our meeting. That minute.
Thank you, Chair. We'll do that just now, Chair.
Chair Ukai.
Ma. Yeah. Oh, Kite, when are you?
I'm not.
Oh, I'm not. Lena ke yanle.
I think Bloemfontein. What Tuesday?
Oh, we are Bloemfontein ka Tuesday.
Yeah.
Utsamaka nga dipere ka pa utsamaka sfofane that.
Yeah, Chair.
It's over at my dipere.
Oh, yeah. There is the Honorable Minister, Mr. Fixit, Figile Mbalula. How are you, my Honorable Comrade?
No, I'm good, my Chair. I'm very good, my Honorable Chairperson and Comrade. I'm Comrade Hamsing. I'm seeing him also here. Good morning,
Minister. Hey, but you look nice, Minister. What's going on?
And, good morning, all comrades and honorable members, EFF, everybody. Thank you, Comrade McDonald. Yes.
Yeah. No, Minister, we're just waiting for you. If you are here, we can start. I'm sure you are ready.
No, I'm ready, Chair.
Honorable members, welcome to this meeting. today on Friday. You are warmly welcomed, department led by the Honorable Minister Mbalula and the officials. In the meeting, we're also joined by two officials from the Office of the PP, that's the acting CEO, Ms. Yegile, and Mr. Charles Malaba. And I'm told that there are also guests from the media and the interested parties. All that come to this meeting. Apologies. Valerie, apologies. Okay, Valerie is not here. Let me deal with apologies because I have them. Ms. Kumalo, who's a new honorable member from ANC. Valerie? Okay. The deputy minister is also not going to be with us today. She has other things to do. Honorable Chabangu is still off sick. Those are the three apologies have been given by Valerie. Valerie? In the absence of Valerie, I hope everybody else that was supposed to be here is here. Honorable members, we have two items on the agenda. The first item we start with is the briefing by the Department of Transport on the implementation of the remedial action of the Public Protector Report on a systematic investigation into the illegal conversion of goods carrying Toyota Quantum panel vans into passenger carrying minibus taxi. At this point in time, I'm going to allow the Honorable Minister to lead us on this matter. Honorable Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and the members of the Portfolio Committee. Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. On the 27 March 2019, the Public Protector issued a report on the complaint relating to the illegal conversion of Toyota Quantum panel vans into passenger carrying minibus taxis. This report further prescribed a number of remedial actions to be taken by the Minister, the Director General, and other institutions and persons. As you may be aware that the issues dealt with by the Public Protector's report are central to the agenda of our planned national taxi in Khotla, which will merge with the blueprint of the taxi industry that is formalized, empowered, and subject to rule of law through effective regulation. While on the one hand, we have committed to reimagine the taxi recapitalization program and ensure that it becomes a game changer in improving the economics of the industry, issues of safety will receive equal attention. Our efforts to implement the Public Protector's remedial action will be further bolstered by the outcomes of the taxi lekgotla. In addressing the matters dealt with by the Public Protector, my predecessor, Minister Nzimande, approved the retrofitment process of the identified 2,353 illegal converted panel vans based on a process of testing by the South African Bureau of Standards. This process was overseen by a technical team made up of representatives from the taxi industry, financial institutions, the National Automobile Association of South Africa, NAMSA, the South African Bureau of Standards, SAPS, the National Regulator for Compulsory Standards, and the Department of Transport. The vehicles identified for retrofitment were second-hand vehicles, which meant that the manufacturer approval was not required in terms of the National Road Traffic Act of 1996. However, the process itself had to be overseen and certified by NRCS. Honorable members, it is important to note that not all the affected vehicle owners responded to the exemption granted through the retrofitment process, as at the end of the window period, only 436 of these vehicles were retrofitted. At the time of the conclusion of the public protesters' investigation, she noted that despite the delay, the department had already taken steps and removed the 1,986 illegally converted panel vans off the road. This followed the retrofitment process. In addressing the remedial actions directed at the minister, data on the affected balance of vehicles was extrapolated by the Road Traffic Management Corporation and reviewed by the Taxi Recapitalization South Africa, a service provider contracted to undertake scrapping of the taxi vehicles. The data mining process was completed and identified 1,917 vehicles that needed to be attended to. However, only 1,226 still have operating licenses attached to the vehicles. Note that an operating license is a prerequisite to qualify for scrapping. A reconciliation exercise was completed and it was confirmed that a total of 1,917 vehicles still qualify for scrapping, provided they are linked to a valid operating license. Operators have been contacted and advised accordingly of eligibility and were requested to proceed with process of scrapping in exchange for a scrapping allowance. The TRSA continues to accept applications to establish compliance to qualify for scrapping. The TRSA has further verified that 1,226 vehicles have operating licenses issued against them and therefore qualify for scrapping. Relevant operators were advised of their eligibility for scrapping and the process they should follow. Once approved, the vehicles will be scrapped with the consent of the operator and a scrapping allowance paid. The scrapping allowance is 129,700, having increased from 124,000. To date, the TRSA has received 478 of these vehicles for scrapping, and 382 operators have already been paid their scrapping allowance. The Director General will make a comprehensive presentation dealing with all the issues and responding to the questions the committee posed to the department. But once I had come in as a Minister of Transport, I accelerated this process and want to, among others, issue a proclamation to this particular extent. I was interrupted by COVID-19. But in the next coming months, that is what I intend to do with the taxi industry, so that all these vehicles as public protector had actually required are basically scrapped, because the issue of voluntary service and everything else seem to be taking us much longer, and these vehicles continue to be a risk on our roads. Colleagues will be aware, I went and visited the scrapping center and the taxi industry did not come, because they confused the public protector remedial action implementation with the broader question about recapitalization. Now, recapitalization of the taxi industry has been a big issue since from its introduction. And as a result, it is on top of our agenda for the taxi endeavor to reimagine this taxi recapitalization. So we hope by the end of the taxi endeavor, we will have come up with a resolution on that matter. But the public protector's remedial action is not negotiable. It is a matter that has been ventilated and resolved upon and does not seek consensus. So for the taxi endeavor to agree or not to agree on the eradication of the panel vans, it may take us longer in terms of dealing with this decisively, but that is what we intend to do. Thank you very much, Chairperson. With your permission, I will invite the Director General. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. I do permit for the Director General to present himself before this August committee. I did not see you, Director General. Still observing the rules. Thank you very much. I can see you are taking us very serious today. Thank you.
I had, Chair, I had loud and clear.
Thank you very much.
That's why I came prepared, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Chair of the Portfolio Committee. Honorable Museveni Zizwani, good morning to Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister and to the other members of the Portfolio Committee from all relevant parties. Minister has covered almost 80% of our entire presentation with the comments he has made. And we would then scroll through, Chair, on the issues he has touched on, passed through. And therefore, our presentation will then be less than 5 minutes in that regard. I would now wish to load the presentation, Chair. Yes. With your indulgence. There I go. Can it be seen, Chair?
Yes, the world can see it, DG.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. I would then move, Chair. The background minister has really given it. And the important thing to mention is that we have now an industry coordinated approach. And we are having representation of a technical team that has taxi industry, financial institutions, and NAMSA being the Motor Manufacturers Association of South Africa, the South African Bureau of Standards, the National Regulator for Compulsory Specifications, and our department as well, together with representatives of the taxi industry. We do, however, as Chairperson may well be aware, from time to time experience a challenge with the representation of the taxi industry, where NTA attends meetings and TACO tends not to come along to those meetings. And it has created a bit of a challenge in the coordination here too. I now wish, Chair, to look specifically at the remedial actions and the progress that has been made. Minister has spoken to this matter and as to how many of these have been scrapped. The real question remains, Chair, what are we going to do about those specific vehicles that are supposed to qualify for scrapping, but yet an operating license as a prerequisite for qualification is not there? Because the current policy, as well as what was gazetted as a condition in the framework through the appropriations bill, clearly articulates the need for such. So we would need to look at this carefully, because the bulk of the remainder of the vehicles of this nature on the roads are qualifying for scrapping, and for the scrapping allowance as a carrot to allow owners and operators to come forth and surrender these vehicles. However, the challenge is that many do not have a valid operating license. in this regard, and therefore that remains a big challenge facing us. It is not only a policy challenge, because once you open it up, you create precedents all over a number of things, and then in the real tax recapitalization program, you also now face a challenge in as far as vehicles that are on the roads illegally, but yet they do not have a operating license. On the issue of a database of vehicles that were originally marked, in this regard, the reconciliation has been completed, and we have confirmed a total of 1,916 of these vehicles still qualify for scrapping, and the provision of the valid operating license still is a challenge in this regard. If we look at the issue of the verification for operator validity on the OLAS system, as indicated, the issue of a valid operating license is a bit of a challenge. Again, it presents a challenge also on this remedial action. And you would also see that we had been contacting operators, the specific operators, and encouraging them to come forth and to also bring their vehicles for inspection. And we are looking also at the conversion in this regard. However, we have seen, as ministers indicated, the non-responsiveness of the operators that have been contacted. And operators are being contacted again, and we are keeping on following them up. The truth is, if we, as and when we do find these vehicles on the road, we are impounding them. So we, however, do not wish to create a misery on the part of operators by simply impounding vehicles, and that is the solution we have to remove the unscrupulous ones who do not want to cooperate. But there are others who have their vehicles parked and they are trying to negotiate for a scrapping, whereas they still do not have a license. In this regard, since we started, the initial scrapping allowance was at 124,000. It has since increased to 129,700 in this regard. I now wish to move to the issue of an investigation into the manipulation of e-NATIS. As it may be aware, the SIU, we have asked them to extend their scope of the current investigation of e-NATIS. They are investigating this. We have, during the past week, discussed and negotiated with the SIU on the revision of the mandate and also the revision of the engagement letter we have signed with them. The costs are huge. We have already, together with the RTMC, we have already paid in excess of 76 million rands since this investigation has commenced, and it is ongoing. A lot has been done. Vehicles have been recovered. Property has already been taken back. Some cash amounts have already been recovered in this regard, and there will also be some disposals of illegal vehicles and so forth, which will also realize a further cash. But of importance is that proclamation R37 of 2017 needs to accommodate the continuation of this, and we are already aware that other cases have already been opened for prosecution in this regard. Then the issue about the follow-ups and what needs to be done in terms of monitoring and evaluation, a committee has been appointed already, and that committee is doing its work in this regard. As you may be aware, Chair, on the issue of the explanation that is required about the e-NATIS vehicle registration from start to finish, as well as the identification of the relevant departments and all of that, we have done this. We have done a map and every other thing. We are, however, as the Chair is aware, relooking the entire e-NATIS system. It is mission critical system, and it's an important system for the country. But we have seen that since the additions of a number of modules to E-Natives, and more so that each time you do competitive bidding for a specific thing you want, a different company comes forth to do that. And in truth, the E-Natives CDs now needs to be overhauled in its entirety, and we need to go down into the system and look into it from A to Z, and to map it once more afresh from a technological point of view. There are modules that require upgrading, but there are also new things that we now need to register and to track, and that would need to be incorporated herein. And also other new licenses that have come forth, which also needs to be plugged into the E-Natives system. So consequently, a response is still being awaited from the RTMC in as far as the entire review process, which we had tasked them to undertake. And based on that, we would then incorporate all of what is required, including the issue of now the full explanation of what's in E-Natives as a whole. But we do have, as I've indicated, the existing mind map of what is in E-Natives and the type of modules that are all in there, from whether number plate registration to new license discs, to registration of vehicles, to registration of owners, to addresses. We have plugged traffic fines, we have done this, we have done that. So all of that we have mapped, but we need to re-audit the system as a whole. And that's the process we are now undertaking. And as far as the issue of the steps in this regard, as you know, the Gauteng province and KwaZulu-Natal, they both used separate system, and Western Cape has its own system as well, in as far as this is concerned. And you may know that these systems do manage to talk to each other at a surface level, but they are unable to do a whole host of things that we want to do. And that's why we are now discussing with all the provinces around a common system going forward, in as far as the transport regulatory function is concerned. And this speaks more to the issue of operating licenses and the issuance of operating licenses in the public transport regulatory space. And the discussions are ongoing. We ourselves as a national department have now done the upgrades to the OLAS, and we are looking at the OLAS being a fully fledged module of E-Natives, and that the communication and reconfiguration of both systems to talk to each other at all levels be finalized. And now we would encourage those that are not on E-Natives, particularly KZN and Western Cape, to then get onto the OLAS system as such. We have borrowed heavily from both the system of the Western Cape as well as of Legitimate in the improvement to OLAS. I've spoken to this and what the priest needs to do. And the key thing is that we have revived the NPTR in its own thing. And as you may know, now the NPTR will seek to actually administer the affairs, and we are giving them more teeth. And we have also brought back the Public Transport Tribunal. So as it is, both the tribunal and the regulator will help us deal with the backlogs that have been identified in this case. Chair, I need to move to the issue of progress with regard to the VTS anti-fraud and corruption program. And there, as you may know, a lot of work has been done. And you may also recall that most of those that we had shut down and closed have gone on appeal, and some appeal have been finalized and some remain closed. And while others, it was felt that they had already served the legitimate period, and with the currently reissued plans, that those plans were quite compliant to help us be able to reopen the centers. Of course, we as the chair knows, we had actually stripped some of them of the licenses to operate as vehicle testing centers since the issue of them dealing and manipulating the INETs to illegally register these converted vehicles. Chair, as the minister has indicated, we are looking now at the proclamation, and the proclamation's effect will be to really deal with that. The cutoff date has long passed. We had intended to issue this by the end of March, but as we all know what has happened, we are now looking at reissuing this proclamation. We had been in discussions with both Santaco and the NTA about it, and the proclamation would seek now to declare that all of them vehicles will be impounded in this regard if they are not surrendered. Of course, Chair, with the proviso still of what I've mentioned earlier, what happens to those that are willing to surrender the vehicles but do not have operating licenses? It's a key question the state must answer in this regard. And it's a huge policy implication and also a huge financial implication if we talk to it. I can pass on this, Chair. Now, I want to move to the issue of the SIU. I've spoken to this and the R37 proclamation, and I would also now speak to the remainder of the cars that still needs to be dealt with. And Minister has given the figures there, and we are contending now with the 1,226 that qualify for TRP. Okay, now we have the progress implementation report has been prepared to be submitted to the public protector in as far as this is concerned and what we are doing about the remainder of this. And we had indeed also linked these plans to our current APP, and we are continuing in this regard. So we are keeping it track of it so that nothing falls within the cracks in this regard. So as it is, Chair, we remain firmly committed to implementing the remedial actions of the public protector. And with the lapse of time that has happened up until now, we would know that majority of those cars are no longer on the roads. People are holding onto them with the hope that they will then be able to cash in the taxi recapitalization program. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, DG. You were indeed very short. I don't know if you did stick to your promise of 5 minutes. I've not been looking at the time, but you're indeed very short. Honorable members, there is a presentation and response to the questions. Let me take hands. Honorable McDonald, and then Honorable Gunsinger.
Chairperson, remember, you must let me speak after Honorable Mangu. He objected last time, so please allow him to speak before me then.
I don't see his hand. Is your hand up, Honorable Mangu?
No, Chairperson, my hand is not up. I'm sure Honorable McDonald will represent me well. Honorable Holmesinger. Thank you, Chairperson.
And then Honorable Nolichungu, and Honorable May, Honorable Sithole, Honorable Kansinga is number two.
I'll speak last, Chairperson, if you'll allow me.
I want to speak last. Any other hand? So Honorable Mapena's hand is not raised. Okay, thank you very much. Honorable McDonald.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Minister. DG, thank you very much for your presentations. I do have a couple of comments and questions. let's start off with some of the of these 2,353 taxis that were illegally converted, or panel vans that were converted, how many of them were sold initially to entities like companies or trusts or PTY limiteds or CCs, and the VAT was reclaimed? There is it seems like it was intentional, so that they claimed back and then use the VAT money that they claimed back to do the illegal conversion. So my first one. Then how many of these vehicles currently have valid license discs in South Africa? How many of these vehicles that are of the 1,936 or 1,226 vehicles, how many of them have valid license discs currently? On the public protector's report, it states in 7.1.3 that Toyota was aware and literally knew about the conversions of the taxis as far back as 2005. So my humble opinion, Chair, and through you, Toyota needs to come to the party and help us to pay for this taxi recapitalization, especially on the vehicles that don't have valid permits at the moment. Then there was on 7.3, the SABS was also found to have done inadequate testing on those vehicles. How are they going to compensate the people that have died already in these vehicle accidents? Because they certified these vehicles, and then now there's no remedial action from them, Chair, through you. Then on, I think, Chair, I will stop there. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Nolichungu.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the Minister, to the DOT staff, and to my colleagues and our visitors. Chair, it is evident that there has been a corrupt relationship. There is no way that SABS, NRCS, Toyota, Santago, the financial institutions, there must been some kind of collusion. We have SABS whom we have entrusted with quality assurance, but they have failed. We have the national regulator. We have people that are manipulating the system. It's just mind-boggling to see that all the organs of the state have been in collusion with the financial institutions, including Toyota SA. What has been done to make these people to account? Because in terms of this report, the public protector, it only speaks of the NITS manipulation, that those people must be taken into account. But the rest, it seems as if the department has only done what has been recommended by the public protector and overlooked the rest of the actions of the state organs. There is no way that these people can be left and not us to account for what has happened, because our people have been put, you know, at risk. We still have vehicles there that are still operating. I hear the DG that, you know, this is an issue that they are battling with in terms of how to deal with it. But definitely something has to be done to make sure that all of these people, the Toyota SA, NTA, Santago, the financial institutions, and the organs of the state, they need to come to the fore and account. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Nolichungu. Honorable May.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question was asked by the previous speaker. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mondise?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and thank you to the presenter of the DG, and good morning to Minister new Chairperson and the colleague. Chairperson, there's something that is actually disturbing, because if you check Toyota, I've got into the report from Toyota, they say they have confirmed that they did not authorize any MIP to convert its panel vans to be used as a taxi. But when you follow that, there is nothing that Toyota have, there is no action or media action that have been taken by Toyota. So my question is, what the department is doing now to ensure that Toyota did pay, because all this what is happening, they are all happening from their cars. So now I'm trying to check the legal action that the department have taken for Toyota. And then the other chairperson that I want to find out, if they do have a number or a figure of how many people have died because of this illegally panel van, because they must know the figure, how many panel van have been involved in an accident. And the last one, Chairperson, what I'm trying to check here is that one, because the department was aware about this in 2009. But it takes time to the department to be involved. They just involved in this after public protector. What was actually caused the department to delay to act, because they get the information in 2009. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honorable Hansinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the presentation and the comments is largely guided by the scope of the report, a scope which I regard as rather limited, since many issues have now also been touched on by my colleagues, which clearly indicate that a lot more should have been taken in account in this report. And for us to be completely responsible, I think one should then also look at all the elements that would and should have made part of this investigation. Personally, in relation to the submission by the department, whose presentation I appreciate, I also appreciate the presence of Minister in this session. And just to carry on with where I left now in terms of the presentation by the department, I'm really highly disappointed. I am highly disappointed about the revelation that the eNATIS system, the integrity and safety of which we've referred to many times and asked about, particularly during the stages where we had to deal with court cases and reluctance to transfer the eNATIS system from Tasima to RTMC, constantly I ask the question about how safe is the system? Has a full check been done? Are the firewalls and access commands, the access fields, are they protected? And now we must hear that indeed, during that time, it wasn't protected, and that we didn't know and we weren't aware that vehicles could simply be changed in terms of what they represent over the counter, and that the person behind the counter in some traffic department has the ability to change whatever fields they want to, which is a serious and a very worrying aspect, because everybody's personal details is also part of the eNATIS system.
including bank accounts. So the integrity of the eNATIS system through this topic is brought under serious question. And I am very upset about this, and I'm really disappointed, since we've asked these questions and we've demanded explanation as to the quality of the eNATIS system around firewalling, around security, around integrity. I'm moving on in terms of what we're dealing with here today. Chairperson, just to pick up on the point of that this presentation is guided by the scope and content of the report, I regard this report as a fairly thin one. I am disappointed about what was selected to then produce in a final issue, which was then signed off and released in March last year. Given that this illegal practice has been coming on from 2005, the complaint happened 7 years after that in 2012, and 7 years from the time where the complaint was lodged to 2019, where the report was released, 7 years transpired. This means that less than one page has been generated per day of this report. Or the report was a lot more comprehensive, but it was decided to release a far thinner final version of the report. Chairperson, the minister referred to the refitment process as part of the solution and part of the process in having to deal with this. And I've then also in my investigations looked at the refitment process. I've looked at and inspected a couple of vehicles, and the refitment process can certainly not be regarded as a compulsory replacement for what should happen in terms of manufacturing standards and in terms of homologation processes, which is governed by particular bodies, namely the NRCS, which is the real watchkeeper. One can also not simply ignore manufacturing standards and safety standards related to original manufacturing standards by just declaring that it would not be applicable, and therefore the refitment process would be fine. The refitment process is a fail in terms of adequate test in comparison to what really happens out on the road. These tests are not done at 120 kilometers an hour with 16 passengers. The refitment process is a simple rollover in a storeroom where the vehicle is tipped and then checked for deficiency in terms of structure. Totally different from what daily passengers experience and are exposed to on an everyday basis. So this, to me, is highly questionable and not acceptable. The numbers are also not clear to me. And I would really suggest that we have an audited list that clearly speaks to the number of registered vehicles that are regarded as being illegal and originating from panel vans, rather than to just look at what we know of and what we want to address in terms of historic numbers. Chairperson, on a very sort of personal level, I don't regard it as fair of any vehicle to be impounded and scrapped, and through that, a business is destroyed. How can we ever think that it is fair to impound a vehicle which someone unknowingly bought, later on discovering that it is an illegal conversion from a panel van, and we destroy that person's whole business, believing that it is fine to replace a near half billion rand vehicle value with 129,000 rands. You destroy a whole business, and you believe that you can replace that with a mere 129,000 rands. That to me is not fair, and it will never be acceptable to us. Lastly, Chairperson, apart from what we talk about, again, through the scope of this very limited scope, I might add, of this report. We are only talking about the IOTA quantums. But on the 14th of October last year and on the 30th of September last year, Nissan converted ambulances, 40 of them, were tried to be registered in Mabatu. In Durban, 70 Ford Ranger buckies was tried and attempted to be registered for laborer transporters. Luckily, these were intercepted, and those 110 odd vehicles could not register because we had law enforcement officers that were wake up and that intercepted this attempt. So it is not just limited to quantum vehicles, and it is not just limited to taxis. We have not touched on the subject of ambulances, and it is highly disappointing that the public protector also didn't mention the ambulances and the remedial action around that. How can we leave 9 provinces, medical institutions and emergency units that have purchased ambulances with which you and I might be transported and not address it at all? So I'm highly disappointed at what was regarded important and what was simply left out. So, Chairperson, from my side, I can't just complain about stuff and not propose something constructive, as you know me. National Assembly Rules 227 mentions very clearly that a portfolio committee must deal with matters, but then also say other matters falling within its portfolio. It must have oversight. And point C under 227 sub 1 says that we can investigate. E talks about functions, but then in particular, Chairperson, with regards to NA Rule 229, I suggest that we seriously consider and approve that this portfolio appoint a subcommittee to deal with this and to really address all the aspects and all the matters raised. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Member, let me deal with the last part right at the end. You must remind me if I forget about it. For now, I think let invite back the minister and the DG.
Chair, honorable, my hand is up on the system. If you check there,
yeah, I know you. This is the character I live with all the time.
That's Ambosha, Mapena.
Yeah, Mhlonishwa. Honorable Mapena. I did not see your head. Okay. Let me allow you.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. But I think it's also very important that I think maybe the secretary in future should advise the chair on the hands which are raised virtually on the system because you can't do that. And I think at the time when you were taking hands, I tried to, but I saw that I think I was on mute. Nonetheless, I think most of the issues have been covered by my colleague, Honorable Chris Ansinger, on behalf of the DA, and that is exactly our position. But one other, maybe two issues that we need to deposit. It's one, those converted panel vents cost money. And they didn't cost 129,000. They cost way more than that. And not only that, but operators had to pay extra money for the conversions of the panel vents. And also, let me also assure the DG two things. One, the corruption within the department as far as the taxi board is concerned. There are many panel vents which are all over the place. And those panel vents are not being removed from the roads. And those panel vents continue to operate on the roads. And you know why? Because when they get to a roadblock by the taxi board, they pay bribes and then they continuously to be on the roads. And unfortunately, the most unfortunate thing I think that has been touched by many members is that unfortunately we are only commenting on the remedial action of the public protector as far as this report is concerned, which is actually very limited. Two things. Toyota benefited gratuitously and very handsomely. I can tell you and I can guarantee you in terms of the units which they moved during that period of 2005 and the years followed, they moved a lot of units in terms of the conversion. However, seemingly Toyota has been exonerated from this report, absolutely out of a responsibility whatsoever. You know, it's almost like a whitewash, like you are saying, no. The issues is just the people at E-Natives and this and this. And also one other issue that I see which is becoming like the elephant in the room is this. Santaco has a stake in the taxi finance, which finances taxis through a subsidiary of Santaco or through an investment arm. And I can guarantee you, 90% of those converted taxis were moved and financed by taxi finance, because some of the banks did finance them, but majority of them were financed by through taxi finance. And this explains, DG, what you are saying, that whenever you are having a meeting, NTA is the one that is attending. Santaco is seemingly not attending these meetings. That should tell you, it is telling, they know exactly that they had a hand in this entire thing. Why would they attend a meeting on the briefing that would seemingly also ensure that they are sort of guilty? So in that essence as well, I think, DG, there's a comment that you made that the state needs to answer the question of how do the recourse of taxi operators who bought these taxis and now they do not have operators' licenses and therefore they cannot be reimbursed in terms of the 129,000, which is also like a small change. But now we are the state. The department is the state. The department needs to respond. The department needs to have a mechanism to ensure that these people are not left stranded. These are people who are breadwinners, family breadwinners, which needs to make a living from all these businesses. And therefore, the question that the state must answer, the department is the state. The department must come up with a mechanism that these people are not left behind. You need to foolproof the process to ensure that only those that bought taxis for the, you know, there are so many taxis that has association stickers but don't have operators' licenses. Maybe you can look into that. Engage the taxi associations as well, because you also need a letter from the taxi association for you to go and buy a kumbi, especially if you're going to buy it from taxi finance. You need an association letter. So therefore, they are also very complicit in this entire process. And who is that? That's Santaco. And by association is also NTA. Unfortunately, the scope of the public protector's report is really limiting us in terms of what can be done. And I think as the DA, we've proposed a subcommittee as far as this is concerned. And I think many issues that have been covered by my colleagues, I'm not going to repeat them, Chair, but thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Mabena, Honorable Minister and DG.
Let me do the unusual and respond first, and the DG will come after. To be honest with you all, when I came in this department, I asked those questions. And I'm not going to lie to you today or to be a populist. I asked a question. Deputy Minister is my witness. I said, what happens to the companies that produced these panel vans? I see the public protector's report. The answer I got from the officials, I can't even explain it to you. It was wishy-washy, open up, and all of that, and so on. I don't want to accuse anybody. It's my political responsibility and my department to look at this issue. The department does not have the authority and powers to investigate. We will have to, that is why we talk about SIU in this particular instance. And also Parliament has got powers to convene those companies to Parliament, Toyota and the rest, because it's a serious injustice, not only for people who own these panel vans, but also for government, that we are spending a lot of money. It's not a little money, Honorable Hunsinger. It's a lot of money. We could have spent that money on the taxi industry for other serious projects. And the public protector also does not have, you know, the capacity to do what she can have to do in terms of investigating this matter, you know. I think we need to deal with this issue head on. And it is my responsibility, and I admit on your part that we minister must do something. And I take it upon myself that tonight we have our management meeting, and over and above of getting rid of panel vans, we've got to deal with the root cause of this thing, and give Parliament a report back on this particular issue, including some of the inputs honorable members have actually made. It's not a matter of political point scoring. It's a point of negligence also, because when the public protector did what she had to do to investigate, what did we do as government to protect citizens in terms of these panel vans? And I asked that question when I arrived here. I did. And I didn't get sufficient answers that were convincing. And then I went there, and then you saw it all when I went to where these vans have been destroyed, recapitalization. Taxi industry people did not pitch. I asked them, what is the problem? We're dealing with panel vans. It was up and down. So the issues you are talking about taxi industry and not pitching on some of these things, I don't want to accuse anyone. It could be vested interest, I don't know. But at the end of the day, as government, we've got to act to protect the citizens. As we agree on giving out money to assist, but over and above that, we can't let go of people who manufactured the problem in our country, and they are not coming to the party. They are not paying even a cent. They are not saying that, no, we made a mistake, and nobody punishes them. They are off the hook. They are gone. Public protector's report is the only thing that is before us. What happens to those who basically manufactured the panel vans and endanger the lives of ordinary South Africans? What happens to them? And I think we need a response to that matter. And I can only commit myself that give me a chance, because in my approach, except the SAU, I've not examined my options too in relation to this issue. But the problem of implementing the public protector's report, I'm on top of it, and that I'm doing. But over and above that, we need to go beyond public protector's report, including the things that the Honorable Hunsinger is talking about Nissan and so on. So I need proper advice, legal advice. I also need proper undertakings in terms of the department, and the DG and the department will have to execute. And I will need Parliament also, without sound, to giving Parliament instructions to sit, not to sit on this issue, because those people must be brought to book. It cannot be that in South Africa, people were building stadiums during 2010, and they were punished, but we were not convinced about the punishment that they got from the competition commission. Here, it's not even a matter of competition. It's a deliberate ploy by well-established companies in our country to allow specifications that are unlawful to be dispersed for the market. And our people ordinarily would have gone for a cheaper deal. And that is what they did. They went for a cheaper deal to purchase these panel vans quick and fast. And how many people, if we can calculate backwards, who died in these panel vans? I went here in Johannesburg in the M1 North. A panel van killed a child included. 16 people. Tanbonu Topobu Kabalaga. The panel van. That thing, when it gets into an accident, you will never, you will be very ashamed. So I'm just saying that, honorable members, that is the commitment I make, and I will be accountable on that with my team to come back and over and above that to take steps that will make it a point that these companies are actually brought to book. We can't not frown at that. It will be a historical injustice to do so. It doesn't matter. Whoever belongs to what institute and so on, it doesn't matter. They must be held accountable because they flooded the market with these panel vans, which are not supposed to be panel vans, as the public protector would have done. The public protector have done a duty. And then if there is anything insufficient from that, we can look at that. But the fact of the matter, we must implement the recommendations and the remedial action. But over and above that, we need to take further steps on these particular issues. And I will need a proper processing of this matter. I can't do it on my toes. But as you speak, and even before we came here, I raised the issue to say, what are we going to say to the portfolio committee about this thing, you know, because I raised this issue as the minister when I came in about what are we going to do? Where are the people who manufactured these vans? Where are they? Why did they do this? Obviously for profit. Obviously they sit in the boardroom and decide that let us design an under, you know, valued, you know, package for everybody, and then this thing would have been bigger than what you've got now if ever it was not intercepted at that time and brought to the attention of the public protector. We'll be sitting with over 1 million panel vans here in this country probably, and that is why the checks and balances work for the system now that it has been brought and halted, and the public protector intervened. We need to address some of the issues. I'm not exonerating myself to say that, no, we've got the responsibility to deal with the issue, and that is my submission, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Do you wish DG to continue, or you have concluded this matter?
Well, DG can continue where I didn't, but this is my position as the minister of the department, and DG can deal with other issues that he thinks are important in relation to what the members have actually raised. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. DG?
Thank you very much, Chair. I honestly believe it will be grossly inappropriate of me to speak after the minister has already provided the way forward in terms of what needs to be done and in terms of the report that we would need to then bring back to Parliament after his further directives. So I think a protocol dictates that I have to leave it at that point, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, DG. Honorable members, my understanding on this matter in terms of how this matter was deliberated on is that the minister acknowledges that a lot more work needs to be done here and he'll go back and deal with what the department can actually chew and come back and report. He also agrees with the view that says the committee by itself must be able to do what they can do in ensuring that this matter is handled and dealt with holistically. That will also include those who manufactured, as honorable members have said. And I think it is my understanding that the committee will then have to have a schedule in terms of how are we going to be calling the companies that are involved here to continue with this matter. If we need to call Texas associations that are involved here, I think we should do that, as members have said it. That's how I have heard you talking. If I've left anything, the meeting is not yet closed. We are still on this item. But if what I've said is what the members think is the summary, then we should agree with this. Honorable Alhansinga, Honorable Manu, where is Honorable Mapena? Now, let me just check Honorable Mapena first. So that I got, is your hand up, sir? Honorable Mapena?
Okay.
What was the other hand? I noted two hands, McDonald and Honorable Hansinger. Okay, thank you. Honorable McDonald.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I'm in load shedding here at the moment, so it's a bit difficult. But thank you very much, Chair, for your summary, and thank you to the Minister and the DG. The Minister summed it up perfectly. I want to, I just did a quick Google, and currently, you are still able to buy conversion kits for Toyotas at the moment as we speak. Right here in Cape Town, and I was able to purchase a taxi now in Tacosa, already converted taxi in Tacosa. It's offered on OLX, completely licensed, ready for my taxi business. And I think on that basis, Chair, I think we must have a ad hoc committee established as soon as possible to investigate this scourge in this country, where people's lives, the ordinary black South African, the poor of the poorest, lives are put at risk by capitalists with only interest is money. And Chair, this has to stop somewhere. And that's my submission, Chair.
Honorable Hansinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, as I have submitted, it is my firm proposal that this portfolio committee establishes, through your consideration and prerogative, a subcommittee with representative members from the committee, again, according to your prerogative, Chairperson. But as the Minister also admitted, that there are issues beyond the report, and I quote his exact words. It is also disappointing for the Minister now to have a different reaction as to the way this item was introduced, but I am leaning towards a solution on this issue, and I firmly want to cooperate in terms of information and investigation. So to cut it short, Chairperson, I then absolutely stand by the suggestion that we form a committee to thoroughly investigate this and to get to all the issues which was not covered in this public protectors report back to the full portfolio committee, and then take it from there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Hansinger.
Can I come in?
You'll come in. I've noticed you. You must just wait for me to point at you. Come okay. In, Honorable Ramadwa.
Thank you, Chairperson. That's because I'm experiencing load shedding. That's why I didn't want to waste time when I'm having a chance. Chairperson, allow me to thank the minister and the DG for the presentation. But safe to say that when listening to the discussion, the minister acknowledges that there are challenges. And now let us give him chance. And you proposed that we must meet all these companies that were involved. I think before we establish a committee, let us start by giving the minister chance, as he has indicated, and also us. Let us meet those companies. Then we'll take it from there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable members, I think let's, if we are to go the route of finalizing the subcommittee, we will not do that activity today, maybe in our next meeting, so that we will mull over it. Because if we are to come up with an ad hoc committee, it means we must be able to consult members properly so that there is no member who feels that he or she is left out when he or she would have been very helpful in terms of dealing with this matter. Let's also deal with the issue of calling these companies. I think we're taking that decision today as a portfolio committee that we are going to be dealing with these companies or taxi association in this deliberation. My request is that let's complete the issue of the subcommittee or the ad hoc committee in our next meeting. Is that agreeable, Honorable Members?
Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Ramadwa.
My understanding is that we didn't agree. There was a proposal of a subcommittee, but we didn't agree. Let us discuss that in the next meeting concerning the issue that has been proposed. We didn't conclude that we are going to establish that, but we are saying we can take it to the next meeting where we are going to discuss about it. Thank you.
Well, maybe let me test that, Honorable Ramadwa, so that we are very clear. Honorable Hansinger.
Chairperson, this report was released in March 2019. 18 months have passed till now.
Mm-hmm.
In the hands of everybody, but especially the department, and especially about seven formal institutions that have been addressed in terms of remedial action. In the remedial action, particular deadlines have been mentioned, all of which have not been met. In other words, 18 months later, today, we are getting a progress report of stuff that should have been completed already. In fact, today, we should have been in a position to guarantee the safety of motorists on our roads in that this matter has been adequately addressed and completed. It is through our effort in having this meeting today that the seriousness of this is now realized. And now we have different stories of undertakings and how this should be handled. While businesses are destroyed, with threats of impounding of taxis as the only solution, and now suddenly there's a wider attempt in addressing it in better and different ways. Whereas the only solution till now was to destroy a business by offering them 129,700 rands. Chairperson, I again submit that this portfolio committee needs to take this issue serious and we need to act, and therefore I again ask for your consideration to establish a subcommittee so that we can establish the scope of all the issues that are outside of this, talk to the department, talk to the minister, talk to all the issues. This is not something or an attempt to take on something and act with it on an independent way. Absolutely not. Full cooperation can be maintained, but at least we will be in a position where we capture all the issues and deal with it in a proper way. There is no attempt here to highlight any discrepancy of anybody apart from what is already realized, and that is that the entities that was mentioned in the Public Protector's report did already not do their job. But there is a lot more and a lot of different people. So this should not be a witch hunt of who is guilty and who is less guilty, but this should be the portfolio committee that act on behalf of citizens of South Africa, the motorists that are amongst these illegal and dangerously scared vehicles, but also taxi owners that unknowingly purchase these vehicles and now have to lose a business and get compensated by the department for a mere 100,000 rands. Chairperson, I again propose that you seriously consider establishing a subcommittee to deal with this so that in the time that we have now, till the next time we meet, we can come to the portfolio committee and report on a full scope that we will investigate, rather than to postpone this and lose more time. We owe it to the motorists, we owe it to business owners of this country, and we cannot let this stand over. Thank you, Chairperson.
All right, let me just test this view so that tomorrow it's not my decision alone. Do we have a seconder for this view of establishing a committee to deal with this matter? Honorable Noli Chongo.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. I want to second the proposal from my colleague. We have seen that what was presented here today was just a presentation that was put together quickly because we had raised this issue. And you will notice even the responses to the questions, they were just responding to what was put in front of them. Not much effort was put into this matter. And I want to second the fact that the proposal that an ad hoc committee be established, and then let that committee come with their recommendations to the portfolio committee instead of calling those individuals. This thing happened, 2005 already. And if it was not for this one particular individual who approached and lodged a complaint with the public protector, nothing would have been done. So let us not allow other people to dictate what needs to be done. Let us do our job as the portfolio committee and make sure that, you know, we deliver at the end of the day. So I second the proposal of an ad hoc committee to get into this thing, because this thing is deeper than what we see here. Organs of the state, all of them, there is no way that they can fail. Something is just not right here. Thank you.
Okay. Any other hand? Any honorable member who is having a different view than this one? Honorable Minister?
I am. Can I come in? It's not that it's a different view, Chairperson, but what I want to indicate is that there are commitments in this meeting. When you listen to the discussions and also the things that we must do as the committee. So that is why I'm saying, let us give chance to the department and also the portfolio committee, because we have committed ourselves to make sure that we deal with this issue. So the issue of establishing a committee now, I don't think it's important now, because there are things that we must do because of the discussions that we had. The discussions that we had, there are commitments that were made. So that is why I'm saying, let us do what we have agreed on before we establish a committee.
So you basically, Honorable Ramadwa, your view is you are descending to the view of the committee. That's the issue. I think I was trying to bring us all together, because anyway, establishing a committee, terms of reference and those other issues, we shall have to seek some clarities and before we deal with that, those matters.
Chair.
Yes, Honorable Minister.
I have said from the onset, I'm not here to play politics, and I'm very honest about this. Honestly speaking, I can't justify anything more than what I've explained in terms of this matter, that we were dealing with this issue up until COVID came in. I went to the center, spoke about this issue, convened the taxi industry, and wanted to understand from them that why didn't they come to the party on this particular issue? And I posed questions on this particular matter in relation to the department. Why are the parties that manufactured the vans were not brought to book? And we are now at the portfolio committee, and I'm giving you honest answers. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeking for glory or anything. You know, I'm giving you honest answers, and I called for a proclamation that the SIU must actually intervene on this particular matter. And I am saying to you, which is my commitment, that what the portfolio committee does will be its decision. Whether you establish a thing, I will be very happy. I will be very happy if you act. I will subject myself to all what you want me to do. I'm simply telling you that I submit to you that this matter is very serious. And it's a matter that, as a minister, I intend to take up and run with it from here on in terms of what needs to be done. And what you do, acting on the best interest of our citizens, is absolutely within your right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I don't want to interfere with that. I've put my position across, and I've said to you, whatever time that you wish to, I'm going to discuss with my team tonight. I can show you, here is the agenda. It is on the agenda. The issue of the panel vans is back on the agenda. And then I will come to the portfolio committee on this matter. Either you convene me, whatever that it is, I will come to you to tell you exactly what am I doing in terms of getting to the bottom of this particular matter, including implementing the remedial actions like I've presented to you of the public protector already. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable members, I think we are at the point where we are saying, let's act. As a portfolio committee, let's act. Let's allow the minister to go meet with the department and act. When we request something, we want to clarify ourselves, the minister has made himself available. Can we conclude on the matter of how are we going to deal with this matter as a portfolio committee? There is a view clearly that says an ad hoc committee must be formed. There's that view, which I think we are not hostile to it, as I hear, because even Honorable Ramadwa says let's complete this matter when we meet in the next meeting. But I think the view is that as a portfolio committee, we'll want to formulate a proper structure that will be able to deal with this matter and in its totality, in fact. I think that's what we are agreeing on. Can we then pronounce ourselves in terms of the warm bodies and the terms of reference of this committee that we are going to talk about in our next meeting? Is that acceptable to all of you? Or you want to deal with this matter now? Honorable Rama, Honorable Manu, Honorable Hansinger, let me take any other hand because we'll conclude on this matter after these people. Honorable Stolle, Honorable Ramatwa, thank you very much. Those will be the four hands. Baba Manu?
Chairperson, thank you so much. I think your summary is helping us going forward in that in our action, where I'm sitting, I don't know the difference, to be honest, between an ad hoc committee and a subcommittee. But what I think we are agreeing on is that as a portfolio committee, we put together a focus group with the right terminology in terms of what governs our legal status. I think we are agreeing on that, listening to everybody. Now, what is required, as you rightfully summarized, is the warm bodies, how many people, what are the terms of reference? And I think we are not ready as a committee today to conclude that, but I think we are ready to agree that we form this committee, whatever the legal framework will be, and that we have support teams here, legal people, and all those things. They will guide us through you, Chair, that at the next meeting, we conclude on terms of reference. We can interact in between if there are drafts. We can conclude on terms of reference. We can conclude on composition, timeframes, and so forth. That is my submission, Chairperson.
Honorable Hansinger.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your leadership in this regard. I think the term subcommittee could have created the impression of a less member number than what we are in the portfolio committee. And let me be clear, there was no intention to suggest anything like this. What I referred to was a subcommittee in terms of a particular work stream, of a particular theme item, this panel van item specifically. So therefore, Chairperson, indeed, I go along with the suggestion, let us agree that a subcommittee be formed, but in the sense of including everybody, but then with a particular focus as a work stream to address this issue. And the first phase should then be to determine the full scope of this whole issue, since everybody is in agreement that the public protector's report fell short of what we now discover all the other issues are. Thank you, Chair.
Babu Keta Mabala.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, first of all, to form a committee, it needs to understand the requirement. And it needs to pass the parliament. If we are talking about the ad hoc committee, because it will be a subcommittee of parliament and a subcommittee of the portfolio committee. So now I don't think that it will be proper for us just today to form a committee. But as you summarized, as you did summarize, I think I agree with you and the Honorable Mang. Because that's the way that we have to follow. Thank you very much.
Honorable Ramadwa.
Ndolibuwa mzula chiduro. I support what Honorable Mangu has said, so that we discuss comprehensively on the issue that we are discussing now, because it will be able to cover everything so that we have an understanding of what we are saying. Thanks, as a committee.
Honorable members, this issue will be one of the items in our next meeting, so that we conclude, we move forward. I think that's what I'm hearing, that's what we're agreeing on. Thank you very much for deliberating on this matter. I'll just request that as we move forward with this matter, we move forward with cool heads, so that where we can be able to move in unison with the department, let's do so. We want to thank the minister also for being upfront and willing, so that we can deal with this matter in its totality and help the citizens, those who are affected negatively. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister and your team. Should you wish to be released for other things, I think let's allow you to do that, but we're definitely on the last item, which is minutes, which is not long. But looking at your face, I think you want to say something. And thank you very much.
I want to leave.
No, long live the minister. You are allowed with your team. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable members. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable members, minutes. The next item is minutes of the 28th of August. I'm sure members have gone through the minutes. In the main item there was consideration and deliberation of the civil aviation bill, where we needed to deal with certain clause that we needed to correct, and I've gone through those minutes. If there's anything that members wants to raise, members can raise. Any corrections, members? No corrections? Can we move to the adoption of the minutes? Any mover? Honorable McDonald moves.
I second the
honorable. Goeie acht bare liedes. Ons het tot by die einde van ons vergadering gekom. Ek wil dankie sê aan almal van julle hoe het hierdie vergadering bygewoon. Baie dankie vir dit. Agbare lede, Unsinga, wil u iets sê?
Ja, agbare voorzitter, ek wou net gehoor het, nadat u nou die notiele goedgekeur het, of u nie gaan vra of daar enige sake uit die notiele is vir bespreking nie.
Is daar weer enige sake wat u wil bespreek, meneer?
Hybo, it's all right.
Honorable May, I can see you are very happy that Africans have spoken Afrikaans this meeting.
Voorzitter, nee, ek wil net noem, ek gaat u nou net hierna bel in verband met iemand wat graag met u wil praat van Durban af. So antwoord asseblief die telefoon. Baie dankie.
Dankie en aan al lede. Baie dankie die vergadering is
Vandaag.
Is gedag, ja, de vergadering is gedag. Ons sien mekaar volgende week. Lekker na week vir julle allemaal.
Thank you, Chairperson. Bye-bye. Long live the Chairperson.
Dank
je. Members.
Bye. Long live the Chairperson. Long live.
Awa, wat chambas.
Long live Chairperson and long live. Nee, ek